to chapter 46. It is customary in olden days to use the name of the god you serve in many names. El in the Hebrew means God, so you get Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Danny L, Joe L, and doubtless you can think of others. And then when you see the idols here and the other nations, you can think of Belshazzar. Belteshazzar, the name they gave, do you remember, to one of the three who were burned in, who were placed in the burning fiery furnace. And likewise with Nebo, you can think of Nebuchadnezzar and Nabonidus, and also probably one of the other three, probably Abednego, is just the way of pronouncing Abednego, you know. So here are the ancient gods of Babylon. Bel bows down. Nebo stupid. Now remember that Isaiah is prophesying just probably short of 200 years before the events spoken of here. That is to say, it was like as if there should be such a thing as a true prophet, probably at the time of the Battle of Trafalgar or Waterloo, foretelling something that was to happen this year or next year. It's that sort of time span. So here is a wonderful thing that the Lord is able to declare from the beginning the things that he has always known and that he's purposed and that he will do. And here is the destruction of Babylon. Babel on, incidentally, of Babylon and Babel. Here is the destruction of Babylon pictured. But it's pictured in order to ridicule idolatry. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth, their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. They are a burden to the weary beast. Now, English has some nice words. Luggage. Luggage. Luggage is something prepared for lugging. Makes perfect sense. Luggage. Baggage. Baggage is something prepared for bagging. And the old use here, and the reason why I mention this, is carriage is something that is prepared for carrying. Luggage is carried in a case. Baggage is carried in a bag. And carriage may be carried, if you like, in a carriage. But the word here doesn't actually mean the horse and cart or anything like that. It means the cases, it means the packaging, it means the black plastic bag, only they didn't have those then. But the things that you put all this stuff in, you see. And here's this tremendous picture. It's either a picture of something of the Persians who've captured the Babylonians and who are running away with the idols of spoil. I don't think it is that, probably. I think it is more likely that the people are trying to get away. And they want to take with them everything they've got and everything that they possess, you see. So into their black plastic bag, you see, goes their some of their clothes and goes their pots and their pans, and they fling a couple of the idols in with all that lot tied up and put it on their ass, you see. But this is the general sort of picture. The idols are taken and they're slung into muddle up with all the other stuff, and they make a terrible weight and a terrible burden for the poor asses and the cattle who've got to carry them. Well, that's the picture. Your carriages were heavy loaden. They were a burden to the weary beast. The utter humiliation. Bel and of Nebo being idols, being carried by asses. Bel bowest down. Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. They are a burden to the weary beasts. They stoop, they bow down together, that's Bel and Nebo, all their idols, but they could not deliver the burden, but themselves had gone into captivity. Here was, simply because they were idols, events that took place, came to pass, and the idols had no interaction with them at all. They're dead, of course. But they were what people thought were their religion. They were deceived. And the Lord is painting that we might see the ridiculous nature of it. The portrait of false religion defined as a religion that we have to carry. All man-made religions and philosophies are burdens that men and women have to carry. They do nothing for them. They are just an extra weight on their finances, an extra encumbrance in times of difficulty. And if you think of particular idols or particular gods and particular philosophies, you can think of specifics about this. If you were to think of the witch doctors who are the servants of the Juju gods in Africa, and the male and female circumcision, and all the other enchanters and monkey teeth and bones of snakes and things, and all the fear that is put upon a whole nation, it doesn't no good at all. All the spirit, you know, if you believe that every tree and every blade of grass in the forest is against you because it's inhabited by a spirit, what good does this religion do you? What good does appeasing these gods by the sacrifice of a child or a sacrifice of a girl of teenage years? You're carrying the religion. It does nothing. It doesn't contribute anything, but it bleeds you. And indeed, it may be said of Roman Catholicism that it bled those nations dry that contributed to it without giving anything to them. So here is a classic definition of the way in which false religion, specifically idolatry here, but any principle of false religion, is something that rational people have to carry. Now the difficulty is that atheists and humanists will therefore deduce from this, that all religion has to be carried and is a burden, a cancer, upon the thoughts and lives of men. And this is the great disservice that is done by false religion, and it's the great agenda of Satan to make people think like this. Whereas, of course, God is far otherwise. And here is the picture, verse 3. The Lord, through the prophet, through the scriptures, gathers the saints together. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. He's addressing the saved ones, the born again ones, the ones who are not just religious by name, but the born again, the remnant. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Now, this is a wonderful picture, isn't it? In absolute contrast to having to carry your idol gods who can do nothing for you, here is the true living Creator God, who has known his people from before the foundation of the world, but from their birth, is what is mentioned here. And he says, I will carry all your lives, from the womb to old age to grey hairs, all your lives, I will carry you. So here is the most delightful thing about the religion that is revealed from heaven, about true religion, not man-made religion. The blessing of Almighty God who puts his power through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on every believer, and by the power of the Spirit maintains their walk with him and maintains their lives. What a wonderful thing it is to be carried by God. Think of the picture. The picture, of course, was of the asses carrying the idols amongst all the other baggage. Here is a picture of God carrying his people, even us. Now, if you picture, maybe you go out for a hike and you've got a child, older than a toddler, and the child gets weary, and so it is that dad puts the child on his shoulders and walks along, and either the child falls half asleep or the child thinks it's great fun and revives one way or the other. But either way, it's a delightful picture of the power of God bringing a youngster who couldn't make the journey, bringing him to the journey's end with all the adults who could complete the journey. But the picture then is that the Lord will carry us to the completion of the journey. It doesn't matter how weak we are, and the more weak we are, the better qualified we are for being carried, if one can talk of qualification in these things. It doesn't matter how weak we are, but a child with God supporting them, with God carrying them, is stronger than the strongest adult. And a child being carried will conquer all in Christ, as will every believer, from the youngest to the oldest. Sometimes, as a pastor, I feel I can't cope. And I only have a few. But when you think of Monday Club, when you think of Sunday Schools, when you think of each of the folks and each of their children and each of our folks and each of our children and our family, and when you think of the other Christians, and when you think of the others you're trying to help and pray for and think of, the prayers get beyond you and everything gets beyond you. I cannot cope. But then the Lord carries us, and of course we cope. And the same is true for each one of our individual lives in each one of those things that each of us is required to do. Of course there are times when we run out of steam. Of course there are times when we feel we cannot cope, maybe mentally, maybe physically, maybe sexually, maybe with temptations. But in all these situations we may call upon our God to carry us. And we should call upon our God to carry us. He is pledged to carry his people. Now, of course, you can get hold of children and they'll say, I'm not tired, and they'll struggle and won't want to be carried. I suppose we can do that too. But you can see the wonder of the picture between a man-made religion and idols and any other who can't be of any benefit whatever to his people, and the Saviour who has gone before us in every part of our lives except without sin, and who will support us, will carry us in every situation that we meet. And it applies also to the life of the church as well as to our individual lives. He will carry the church, he will guide the church, he will bring us through. You remember in Isaiah 43, the word carry isn't used, but the whole picture is the same, really. Isaiah 43, 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Well, presumably to carry. Presumably that is what it means, isn't it, when you think of it? When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. What a wonderful thing it is to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. What a wonderful thing it is to have the omnipotent Creator God as our guide and friend and supporter, of the Holy Spirit of God to give us all wisdom at crises in our lives, and to understand the Scripture in a daily way, and to uplift our prayers and to put the thoughts into our minds at all points. What a wonderful thing that God carries. And what a wonderful thing that there is never a time when he doesn't. We are born by him from the womb. The elect, before they know they're saved, are being carried along by the Lord to that position where they will be saved. Perhaps even being brought to an end of themselves and hurried, it would seem, to a disaster or to a crisis that they wouldn't welcome, but all in order that they might be saved, and all under the protection of God so that they will not be destroyed before they're saved. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoar hairs, we talk about a hoar frost, it simply means white. Even to hoar hairs will I carry you. Why? Well, I've made you. And I will be. Even I, couldn't be more emphatic, could I? Even I will carry and will deliver. So we will victory. We will triumph. There is no experience of life through which we will not be brought. And the sheer pleasure and enjoyment of being carried, of being brought through stressful situations of ill health. Others have been through it before, but that doesn't help us, does it? You've got to actually go through the thing yourself. And you don't. You know other people have been through this operation before, but you haven't. Other people have borne pain before, but you haven't. But to have the power of the Lord and to know his presence is to give great pleasure even in the midst of trouble. And that's the sort of thing that is being spoken of, though not exactly the same thing, in Psalm 23, where he will make us to feast in the presence of our enemies. It's the same sort of idea, that there will be victory in Christ as we're carried by him, even through the midst of the most disastrous and difficult situations, hostile situations. Even to your old age I am he. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. Perhaps it would be worth just looking, if you can spend a minute, Exodus 19, verse 4. The eagle. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Exodus 19:4. And here you can see how the picture operates. Now you know the history, you know the story that's being described in that language. There were no eagles, you understand. It was quite a difficult scenario. They were hemmed in at one time, you remember, by the Egyptians, and then the Red Sea was divided, and there'd been the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, but no eagles. But the whole situation, put into picture language, could be described as, I carried you on eagle's wings. I don't quite know how an eagle teaches its young to fly. I imagine that the young at due time just fly away, you know, when the time is right, and they're able to fly. But you could imagine the scene, and if these folks didn't quite know how it happened, the picture here that the Lord gives you is of being carried on the wings of eagles. Here is a mother bird flying underneath her eaglet and catching it and carrying it on wings that soar far higher now. Swift, fly fast. The swift is a little bird. But a baby eagle who can't fly fast, but on mother eagle's wings, will go a lot faster and a lot higher than the swift, the adult swift. But that, you can just see the pictures. I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. But then there is another picture that also is very helpful in Numbers chapter 11. And in verse 12. This is Moses. This is Moses having difficulty with the people. Pastor having difficulty with his church. Or a Christian having difficulty at his job or whatever. Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child. Do you see? Got too much for it. Moses couldn't carry them. Even as God's representative, he was collapsing under the strain. And that's a scriptural picture of what I was saying to you. When we can't cope, the Lord will carry us. We don't need to get annoyed, we don't need to get aggressive with God as Moses did there, but we do tend to say, I can't cope with this, this is too much of a burden, why should I be brought this way, these things are all too hard. And the wonderful thing that the Lord is doing is, he will carry us. If you can imagine the strong wings of an eagle, we are carried invisibly but powerfully by the Spirit through our lives, going through all the situations that defeat others and that bring them low, suffering them fully perhaps, but being brought through them, but always by the power of a loving Saviour God. And though what the atheists and the humanists think about idolatry and false religion, that it's a prop for those who are mentally infirm and who really haven't got any strength at all, the true religion of the true God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, by whose blood we are saved and into his righteousness we are brought into the presence of God. This lifts all these people higher than any of them ever could have been. There are people, there are atheists, there are humanists with vast human intelligence, and some of us with God's help won't even rise above that in terms of our intellect, but we will rise above them in terms of our eternal happiness and our eternal destiny and the fulfillment of the purpose for which we were made, and in our little ways we'll doubtless accomplish a much better percentage, if that's the way to put it, in Christ, of the problems that life sets us and the opportunity God gives. And then, again, ridicule and idols, God here puts into the mouth of the prophet, in somewhat of a nettled tone, to whom will you liken me then? Who are you going to make me equal to? Are you going to draw a picture of some squat, pot-bellied man? Are you going to draw a picture of a snake? Are you even going to portray the sun, which I made? Whom then will you liken me? Worst of all, you're not going to make me the extension of your own personality, will you? So that you can be free to indulge in any sin that you want under the guise of worshipping at the temple or something. To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me, that we may be like, that I can stand alongside the sun, that I can stand alongside a pot-bellied man, that I can stand alongside a whatever? So they've got money to throw away. They lavish gold out of the bag. They weigh the silver in the balance, one commentator laughingly says there. the ones who are a bit tighter with their money, and are not quite so convinced about the value they're getting for money, will go for the silver. If you want to be kind, you'll say that it's the people who couldn't afford the gold. Anyway, they lavish gold out of the bag, they weigh silver in the balance, they hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, they worship him. They carry him upon the shoulder, they carry him again. See, they bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him and set him in his place. They've made this brand new idol, they want everybody to see him. It's gold, it brings great honour to the leading citizens of the town. So he carries it down to the street and they all follow him, the children and everybody, and he sets it at a prominent place in the village, or he even sets it, if it's a household god, in his own house. I could have given you the picture. Do you remember Rachel fleeing from Laban with the household gods? Do you remember from the same sort of picture here of the gods, after all, but being hidden, you know, under a skirt on the asses or whatever they were that they were riding? This whole ridicule of the whole thing of gods and gods of a house and household gods. And then they plonk him in his place. He stands, and his place, from his place he shall not remove. Can't move. Somebody will cry to him, pour out their heart to him. He can't answer. Can't save him. And because God is addressing his elect, you see, he says, now you remember this. You remember this. And show yourselves men. What is the highest thing a man can do? Why, the highest thing a man can do is to humble himself before the mighty God and worship God, call upon God, his creator, his maker, his saviour. But what a prostitution of the mind it is to say these things are real, to bow yourself down to stocks and to stones and prostrate the mind of man to this extension of his own craftsmanship and conceit and wealth. Remember this. Show yourselves men. It is not a manly thing to worship an idol. It is not fit for any human being with his soul made in the image of God to worship an idol. Remember this. And show yourselves men. Then, addressing the ones who have fallen, perhaps even the people of Israel, maybe not the elect, but the others, or maybe even the elect who need to be converted. Abraham was an idolater, you could remember this. And show yourselves men, bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Now remember the former things of old. Remember creation. Remember the flood. Remember how I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Remember how you conquered Jericho. So on. Remember the former things of old. You're thinking people. Show yourselves men. Made in the image of God. Recollect how God has led. What God has done. How he brought the Lord Jesus Christ. To be born of a virgin. To be brought up a man yet without sin. And to go about doing good, and to speak as no one else has ever spoken, to die on a cross, and to be raised again from the dead, and to have ascended into the glory. Remember the former things of old, though some of these things were subsequent to the prophecy. For I am God, and there is none else. Now don't look now, but in the previous chapter, in verse 18, in verse 21, and in verse 22, you've got three or four times the expression, I am God, and there is none else. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, And Isaiah is saying particularly about Cyrus, they didn't want to believe that there would be a Persian king. They didn't want to believe that there would be an unbelieving Persian king. They didn't want to believe that there would be a non-Jewish deliverer in the hands of God. But declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Things that are not yet done are described in Daniel, they're described in Zechariah, they're described in the Gospels, the speeches of the Lord Jesus, Jerusalem, they're described in the book of Revelation, described in Jude. Do you remember the passage about even from those early days that Enoch prophesied of the return of the Lord with thousands of his saints, long before this and still yet to be fulfilled. But I declare the end from the beginning, he says, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Only God, the Creator, the one who has a purpose and who is the power to fulfill it, could do these things. And he says, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, even if it means calling a ravenous bird, an eagle, I think it is, the Persian, as the Romans, the Persian symbol was an eagle, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executes my counsel from a far country. It doesn't mean that he advised King Cyrus, he simply means that what God had purposed, he did, whether he knew it or not. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. What a wonderful thing to be among those who have been saved according to the Lord's purpose. For them all things work together for good. And then he addresses the firm, stiff-necked unbelievers. Stout-hearted here is a bad term. It's like stiff-necked, you know. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted. Those of you who should believe you're of the nation of Israel, but yet you have this firm view that nothing will change. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. You'd think nothing could change them. But here he pleads, I bring near my righteousness in Christ. It shall not be far off. You remember Paul has the expression about he's not it is near, it is not far off. It is not difficult to come to Christ. Call upon him. He will draw near to those who draw near to him. You haven't got to go all the way up to heaven or all the way down to the depths to find him. It's near you, it's in your heart. Even the word of truth, which we know. I bring near my righteousness. Even the Lord Jesus shall not be far off. And my salvation shall not tarry. You remember the words, no doubt, of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. Wait for it, because it will no doubt come, and it will come speedily. I'm trying to find it quickly so that I can actually quote it exactly to you. And, the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Lo, it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I bring near my righteousness. It's coming, Christ. And he brings it near to when he pleads with the gospel. It shall not be far off. My salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. That is to say, the gospel is preached, the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preached within his church, it's known within his church, the gospel is preserved within his church, the scriptures are preserved within the church, and Christ is the head of the church, and he has placed his son to be king in his church, his local church. That I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. So, the Lord's people are his glory, and the Lord is their glory. Idolatry. All across the world, even to this day, the thousands and millions who have been deceived by idolatry, whose heart has fed on ashes, and who have become like ashes, just dry and all withered in their hearts because they do not serve the living God, but alternatively have gone after idols. Well, may the Lord keep us from idolatry, but may he also inflame us to love him and worship him more and more.